Father of glory, we thank you, Lord, that you revealed what is on your heart, especially to this generation. We trust you that you will go on with all the young people. We expect great things from you. Amen. Praise the Lord. What shall we do in this last meeting? I think we all want to go home, right? We want to whirl home. But there's one point that we all definitely need to hear. Actually, this time is too short. It's not possible to talk about everything, but one very, very important point. We just want to have mentioned that we have time to have some more fellowship, that the Lord can touch us. The point that the Lord touches is holiness. Psalm 110. The Lord wants to have a people of volunteers, but not just a people of volunteers. In his holiness, the beauties of holiness. What makes this generation in the church beautiful and glorious is not that we are all so strong and that we know so much about the truth, but holiness. Our God is holy. Praise the Lord. And it's his desire and it's his command that his people would be holy. That's why it is written, "Be holy, for I am holy." And already at the very beginning, God, through Moses, when he led his people out, he said, he wants to have a holy people, a holy nation, but not just any nation. What type of nation does he want to have? And at the end, it's corrupt. It's even worldly. It's even more worldly than the world. Can you imagine? They committed idolatry, even worse than the idolatries in the world. That's why God gave them up. He had to do away with them. He even had to kill them and brought them into captivity. Why? Because the Lord wants to have a holy nation. And we need to understand that, because he is a holy God. It is his nature. It's his being. How can a holy God have an unholy people? Can you imagine that? I'm sure it's not possible. That's why this point is so very important for all of us today. We can gain so many people, but at the end we are all unholy and we just do the things as they do in the world and we can do everything. There's corruption. We are fallen. We behave like the people in the world. They do this, they do that, they even do it even worse. Right? So God has to do something. And that's why we see in the book of Ezekiel, the glory of God, he judged. Ezekiel is a book full of judgment, because God wants to have a holy people. When the people come to the church and they see us, they need to see that this is a people completely different than those outside. If they don't see that, but if they look at us and say, yeah, I know that already. I've seen it before. I know it already. There's no difference between the church and us, Babylon. That's not good. That's not a testimony. That's no testimony. That's why we all need to learn, like Paul wrote in Hebrews, pursue righteousness. Often I told the Lord, why do we not see you so clearly? You have appeared so often to so many people. Pursue holiness. I think once you even had a UCO, and what was the topic? It was the Lord's appearing, God's appearing, the God of glory. So God is a God who appears. Didn't you have such a UCO? It was a topic of the UCO a long time ago. It was 2005. It's good to be here again. I feel young again to be here. I thought it's time for me to come and see what the Lord is doing among the young people. And certainly it has grown. Praise the Lord for that. But one thing we need to really see, why can God not appear to us? Or why is it so difficult for the Christians today to see this living God? We read in the book of Acts, God appeared so often to his people. He appeared to Peter, to Ananias, to Paul. He appeared so often. He spoke so clearly. Why doesn't he speak today anymore? More and more, I understood. It's because we are so unholy. How can God, who is so holy, appear to us if we do not pursue holiness? Everyone wants to see God, but nobody wants to be holy. So it's not possible. The Lord said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Do you want to see God? Well, what is the prerequisite? What's the condition? You need to have a pure heart. It's not that God wants to hide from you, or that he made it so difficult for people to find him. No, it's written differently. It says today you can find him. You just have to seek him. But why don't we see him so easily? It's because our heart is unpure. When the Lord was on this earth, the Pharisees, those who scribes, the high priests, this high class of religious people, they had eyes, but they could not see that the Messiah was actually standing before their eyes. They didn't see it. They didn't recognize it. Do you think the Lord did not appear? Wasn't the Lord there? He was even there for a long time. At least he was very active. 3.5 years. He was super active. And they saw him every day, and yet they didn't see him. They didn't recognize him. They had eyes, and yet they do not see. They had ears, and yet they do not hear, like Isaiah had already prophesied long ago. And how is it with us today? We have ears, and we hear the messages, but we don't hear him. Then we all complain, I can't hear the Lord. And then we say, it's so difficult to see the Lord. Do you think the Lord made it extra difficult today to be able to see him? I don't think so. It's actually his desire to reveal himself to us, to appear to us. It's the Father's desire. Where is it written? In Galatians 1. for it pleased God to reveal His Son to me. It is God's good pleasure to reveal His Son in me, and not just once, but multiple times. And for everyone who wants to serve the Lord, then like Paul, like we read this morning, do you think Paul only saw the Lord's appearing once and not anymore? How often did the Lord appear to him? Often. Probably daily. Right? We need to be such a people. But what type of people? Don't just say, okay, we're in the church and that's good enough. A lot of people have been in the church in the last years, in the last decades. I've seen so many people in the church, but they didn't see anything. They didn't touch the Lord. The Lord did not appear to them. They didn't hear the Lord's voice. In Antioch, the Spirit spoke so clearly. Because these brothers were serving before the Lord. First of all, they were not active to do something, but they were in front of His presence. How can a man stand in the presence of the Lord and not, like Isaiah said, he said, "Woe to me, I am undone. I am a man with unclean lips." How can that be? How is it possible for us to appear before the Lord, to stand before Him, that we cannot see Him? Or do we want to be like the Pharisees? They prayed, "Lord, look how good I am, and how many people I've gained for. And I attended every meeting in the church, and I was active in the young people. I sang the songs, and look what I've done." What does the Lord say? The Lord didn't even hear. God didn't even hear their prayer. Didn't listen to their prayer. But then a sinner came and he said, "Lord, have mercy upon me, for I am a sinner." Then the Lord said, "This man leaves just before God. He was made righteous." That's why it's so important for us as these young people today. We not only want to be burning in the Spirit. It's easy to be burning in the Spirit. It's not that difficult. Look, we all are burning here. Especially when we sing, then we are especially burning. Praise the Lord. But to be holy, you have to pursue it. You have to pursue holiness. You have to say, "Lord, sanctify me. Make me holy by your blood, by the water of life, by the word of truth, by the water bath and the word, by the Spirit of the living God, that we would spend time in His presence, that He can enlighten us, illuminate us, appear to us, even expose us, confess our sins to Him." Confess. Right. Let the Lord search our hearts. Praise the Lord. Every month, go to Him for a checkup. Say, "Lord, here I am. I need a checkup." Praise the Lord. Doctor Jesus Christ. He's my doctor. I come to you now. Search my heart. See if there is any evil way within me, any idolatry in me, any wicked way in me. What does the psalm say? And then it says, "And lead me in the way everlasting." Psalm 139, verse 24. The Lord is always the same. Yeah, the Lord's way is always the same. It's not crooked. It's not once like this and then like that. But His way is an everlasting way. It's not an old way. It's also not an unknown, completely new way. but it's the way everlasting. Praise the Lord. Because our Lord is a heavenly God. Is that not wonderful? And so I hope that we all learn. And therefore we see, let us come to John, read it together in 1 John chapter 2. The Lord especially speaking to the young people. He wrote to the young people here. First John chapter 2.
Amen.
15 to 17. So let's read this together. 1 John 2:15 to 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Amen. The world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Praise the Lord. We need to see this again and again. Just to know the verse isn't sufficient. But this verse needs to be written in our heart. Love not the world. That doesn't mean that we should live like monks and nuns in a monastery and lock ourselves up there. Yeah, we all go to the meeting hall and lock ourselves up there. We're all locked up in the meeting hall. You know, then you will lock the world in with you. Because the world is not only on the outside, the world is here in your flesh. If I have no lust of the flesh, then there is no world for me. Nothing is worldly to me. And if I have no lust of the eyes, then what's the world to me? The world is only a world to you because it really attracts your eyes. There's a market outside. There's a large offer. Where is this market? It's in you. To incite you. The pride of life. People always want to be something. They want to be successful. They want to be important. They want to be recognized. They want to be great. They want to become a millionaire. They want to be successful. This is the vain pride of life. Even if I'm in the church, I want to be something. In religion, it's the same. Remember, religion is a part of the world. It's another type of world, but it is a part of the world. So the world is not just outwardly. It's not just outward. He didn't say love everything that's in the world. Computer, TV, Daimler. Nice shoes.
Fashion.
Fashion. Cruise ships. He didn't say don't love all these things. He summarized it all in one sentence. He said it's the lust of the flesh for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. I think we all need to see this because the world is not far away from you. It's not outside of you. But the world is here, inside of me, in my flesh, because sin dwells in my flesh. Right? So, brothers and sisters, we really need to lay hold of this principle to say, Lord, save me. And salvation is not just from eternal condemnation, but it's from this evil age, this present perverted age. The Lord wants to save us and bring us out of this age. That is salvation, especially the salvation through His life. Right? And then He said, all these things, they are not of the Father, but they are of the world. And if somebody loves the world, then the love of the Father is not in him. So there's a competition here. Whoever loves the world, he cannot love the Father. And the love of the Father is not in him. So what do we want to have? Do we want to love the Father, or do we want to love the world? Doesn't mean that as of tonight we all have to take our iPads and our computers and throw them in the trash can. That's not what it means. But iPad shouldn't replace or occupy your heart. It's just an iPad. Right? It's just an iPad. You use it. But the iPad shouldn't use you. Right? At the end, you're not using the iPad. The iPad is ruling over you. Oh, it's iPad. You hug it. You love it. It's not just iPad. It's iPad 2. And then you're just waiting for, you're dreaming of iPad 3. You can't wait for it to come out. Oh, what will iPad 3 be like? My gracious goodness. Do you already have an iPad 3? When you see your friends, oh, do you know Jesus Christ? Why do you say it like that? Do you have the newest, why don't you say it like you say, do you have the newest iPad? Yeah. Yeah. We need the gospel of the new iPad, right? When you come home immediately, you're playing with your iPad, swiping it, pushing the buttons. Isn't it like that? Isn't it so? As soon as you go home? What is iPad? Are you in love with iPad? Are you in love with the Father? Lord, you are my second love. iPad, you are my first love. Don't you think it will be like this? Lord, burn away everything that still captures me. You can have an iPad, but your iPad should not capture you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, here it says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So the enemy is very clever. He makes nice things to be idols. He makes idols out of nice things to replace God in the world. So our idols today are not this bald-headed guy with a big belly sitting there. Maybe you think I'm mean, but when I'm talking about such things, then I really am mean. I really get mean because I want to turn this bald guy into a pancake by rolling over him with the wheels. I want to run over him, turn him into a pancake. our idols today are not like this. In this modern age, there are modern idols. They even talk, they speak, they move. They can do all sorts of things. Like a fallen star.
Hollywood.
What is that? That captures you. And you start to even dream about it. And unknowingly, your thoughts are influence. And at the end, even what is adulterous becomes normal to you in your mind. It impregnates you, soaks in. So this cannot be anymore. Who is our God? There are so many modern gods. We need to keep away from them and say no. We need to be wise and sanctify ourselves from all these things. That's why Paul says in Colossians that idolatry, greed is idolatry. Covetousness is idolatry. That's why we need to know this, to be clever, to be wise, to see through these things. Why? Because in chapter 5, what does it say? In chapter 1 John chapter 5, what does he say? What does John say to us? 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. Let's read this together. 1 John 5, 19. First in German, and then we can read it in English. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Yeah. This is the danger. This is the truth. It's reality. This is reality. You want to have this iPad too. But remember, this iPad too lies in the hand of the evil one. Behind it is the hand of the evil one. So if we are not cautious, if we are not careful, but if we let our heart stick to your iPad, then unknowingly we fall into the hand of Satan. That's not good. The whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. That's why we don't have any more time to say, but Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2, he is the God of the world, but this world belongs to the Satan. And that's why Paul says that in this world he is like God. He does everything to try to capture people. Don't think that this world is so beautiful. Everything's a trap. It's like a mouse trap. Or a bird trap. And if we're not wise, and clever, then we will walk right into this trap. That's why it's very important for us to see in John chapter 12, the Lord calls him the prince of this world. The prince of this world today is reigning over this world. That's why we in the church, especially this generation, we want to take the earth out of his hands. But if we love this world, then instead of us taking the world away from the enemy, then he will take us away from the church. So we need to see the difference. We are of God. Paul even says that our life is hidden with Christ in God. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are very protected. We are very protected. Our life is hidden with Christ in God. So praise the Lord. We all need to see this today before we go home. It's very important.
When you go back to Greece, to Poland, Ukraine, Romania, don't think that there is no world in Romania. Isn't there a world in Romania? Yes, there is, of course. So the Lord needs to save us.
In Ezekiel, I just want to mention this shortly, show you. You can read it yourself. Out of chapter 25, then we see that the Lord starts to judge this world. And how does he describe the world in Ezekiel 25 to 29-35? First he talks about the Ammonites. The Ammonites and the Moabites. They are the sons of whom? Of Lot. And who's Lot? Abraham's nephew. Do you have a nephew? Yes, he has a nephew. He's a very close relative. He even went out of Chaldea with Abraham. He went with him. He moved out with him. So this is a good thing. Many are drawn out with us. Praise the Lord. We are for the church. And at the beginning, many are drawn with us, drawn out with Abraham. I've seen many who have run with us until a certain point, and then they don't want to anymore. There are disputes or arguments for some reason or other. Why did they argue? They argued about riches. There wasn't room anymore for all the riches. Things got too close. So then we see that Lot, he left Abraham, and where did he land? He landed in Sodom and Gomorrah. And his successors, yeah, maybe Lot is still okay, but those who came after him are not okay. His two daughters aren't okay anymore. His descendants aren't okay anymore. His daughters, they committed incest with their father to have children with their father. So now, in a very sinful way, through incest, they tried to have children. Where did they learn this? Did they learn it from Abraham? Do you think if they had stayed with Abraham, they would have learned this? No, where did they learn this? Where did they learn incest? They learned it in Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you want to learn this from Sodom and Gomorrah? And these descendants from this incest, there was Ammon and Moab. So here we see it is all exposed. That means, in a certain way, the world is related to us. It's part of our flesh, right? Lot was a nephew. In the end, we see the Ammonites, they were fleshly, they were corrupt, sinful. And they want to make the church like the world, and they were glad about it. They said, haha, look. Look at Israel. They're like the world. That's what their goal is. That's what they want to see. And this is the effect of the enemy today. When the church is like the world, then the enemy is so glad. Back then when we were in Freiburg, then we moved to Frankfurt, and the people said, yeah, now you are burning. Just wait. After a certain time, you will be like us. Just wait. Just wait. After a few years, you're going to be like us. How about that? Is that true? Will it be like this or not? That's what the Ammonites want. They're glad when the church is destroyed. And then you see Edom. The Edomites. Who's Edom? Edom is the descendant of Esau, the twin brother of Jacob, even closer than a nephew. Do we have any twins here? Yes? We do. So twins are even closer. They even look similar. Especially if they are identical twins. So here we see Esau and Jacob, they were twins. And shortly said, Esau is a natural man, he's a bit wild. Esau, he's like ourself, he's a natural man. And what does the psalm writer say? When Babel came, Babylon came to destroy the temple, it said, raise it to the ground. And Esau and the Philistines, they worked together. And the Philistines, what do they want to do? They want to take away the land. They want to take away their birthright, take away their inheritance. Ourselves, when we aren't careful, will want to sell your birthright. It wants to steal your inheritance, to rob your inheritance. So the Lord has to warn us. I don't want to sell my birthright. I said, if anyone wants to sell their birthright, then first come to me. Come to me first. I'll be the first buyer. But I only pay you with a soup, a lentil soup. If you sell it to me cheaply. I can bargain very well. In the end, I will even bargain you so far that I will get your birthright without even having to pay for it. Because everybody who sells their birthright is a fool. So if you already want to sell your birthright, then I will convince you just to give it to me for nothing. What is a lentil soup worth? You sell your double portion. You sell your status as a king. You lose the reign. Is that worth it? Here, I'll take it. Here, give it to me. Think about it. And if you thought about it, well, then come and tell me what you think. If you want to sell it to me, I'll give you my email address. Sell it to me. John, I want to sell my birthright. That's the world. If we love the world, then we will be robbed of our birthright. You lose your inheritance.
I've seen so many in the end. They lost everything that they had gained.
We don't want to do this in the church today as young people. And then we see Tyre and Sidon. This is this economic world today, buying, selling. Just wanted to tell you shortly. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28. So that you get an impression from the word here. Moreover, the Lord came to say, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, say to the prince of Tyre, thus says the Lord God, because your heart is lifted up, and you say, I am God, I sit in the seats of gods, in the midst of the seas, etc., etc., etc. Tyre was a very rich country and was known back then for their economy, for selling and buying. And today, what's the most important thing in this world? What is it? It's the economy. Buying and selling. Today in our time, in our age, just like back then, economy was the most important. And in this chapter, when the Lord is speaking his judgment over the king of Tyre, all of a sudden, the Lord's speaking is redirected towards Satan, not talking about the king of Tyre anymore. Verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. So here he's not talking about the king of Tyre anymore. All of a sudden, the Lord, he changed his speech. He redirected the object of his speech, and all of a sudden Satan came up. You were in Eden. King of Tyre was not in Eden. The garden of God. Do you think that Tyre was a garden of God? No, not at all. Not anymore. Every precious stone was your covering. Sardius, topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels were pipes, were prepared for you on the day you were created. You were the anointed cherub who covers. My. All of a sudden, we see a cherub is mentioned. He mentions a cherub. That was the archangel back then. And here, the Lord set him as prince over this world. So all of a sudden, the judgment of Tyre is applied to Satan. What does Satan have to do with Tyre? And why does he bring it with Tyre, not with the Ammonites? Because the most important today in this world that captures the entire world is the economy, richness, Sidon was known for being the richest city. And all the world wants to be rich, right? Everyone wants to be rich. And our heart is always desiring riches. We always want more and more. But here we see, right here, in this judgment against Tyre, then Satan is unmasked. So let us all be wise that this world is really in the hand of Satan, under the sway of the wicked one. It is his realm of reign. He wants to reign here. He is the God of this world. Right? I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till the iniquity was found in you. Praise the Lord. We don't need to read anymore, but you need to see. Satan, the prince of this world, already back then, the Lord exposed him here so clearly. He is the prince of Tyre, the God of this world, the prince of this world. Praise the Lord. The Lord judged the prince of this world. And if the prince of this world is judged, then it is very good for us not to have anything to do with his works. Isn't that right? We need to be free of it. We need to deal with it very cautiously. We need to live very cautiously in this world. Doesn't mean that we cannot possess anything anymore, but we don't let ourselves be captured by it. I told the brothers and sisters, you all have good work, good jobs today. You work here, you work there. And all of these companies are paying you to preach the gospel there. Praise the Lord. We need to see the world like this. You work for Zeiss. You're not working for Zeiss. Zeiss is just paying you to preach the gospel there full time. Who else should preach the gospel to all of the colleagues working there? Who? You! He said, and until now there aren't so many. He said, you are employed. You are employed there. You are well paid. You are paid very well. Well paid to preach the gospel there in Zeiss. Isn't that good? That's what you're paid for. You need to thank your boss. Say thank you. That I'm paid for the gospel. So it depends on how you see the matter. It depends upon your view of the things. If you have such a view, if you have such an understanding, if you have such an insight, right? Here, you have a position at the university. Isn't that good? That's the best place to be. And you are well paid. What for? To fish, to go fishing. So are you a mathematician or are you a fisherman? He's a fisherman. He's not Tobias Widmer. His name is Tobias Fischer. Not Tobias Widmer anymore, but Tobias Fischer. Angie Fischer. And if you are a fisherman, then this whole world, everything else is not important to you. Your main gain in this world is people for the Lord, for God's kingdom, and only this that is for God's kingdom will remain, will abide. Everything else will pass away. Praise the Lord. And then at the end, we see Egypt.
Egypt. There in chapter 34, the Lord judged Pharaoh. So we see the first, maybe it's 24. The first pair is Ammon and Moab. The enemies always come in pair. So it's also good for us to go by two, because if you escape Ammon, then Moab comes. Maybe you're so glad, I'm freed of this matter, and then Moab comes with the next. And the second pair is Edom and Philistia, the Philistines, also a pair. And the third pair is Tyre and Sidon. It's also a pair. The trading in this world. You think, oh, I'm free of this matter, and then you fall into the next trap. So be wise. So three pairs, and then the head of all these pairs is Egypt. In Egypt, Pharaoh said, the river of the Nile, it's mine. I myself have made it. This is a lie. He didn't make anything. God is the one who created heaven and earth. The Pharaoh just stole it. He didn't make it. And then God said to Pharaoh, in chapter 29, you are a great monster. A monster in the Nile. This river, the Nile, is very famous. It's very renowned in Egypt because everyone receives their life. They lived from this river. This river gave them life. We all need to live, right? We need to make a living. But here in this river, there was a monster, a great monster. And it's also well known that the river, the Nile River, is full of crocodiles. Are there any crocodiles in Germany? Well, they're only in the zoo. Oh, that's the wrong answer. That's the wrong answer. There is a spiritual crocodile, and he's really big, and he's free. He's in the wild. He said, okay, I agree. A crocodile is really big, very great. Where's Philip? He was in the Philippines. Where's Philip? A year ago, in the Philippines, they discovered a huge crocodile, 21 feet. How many meters? 7 meters long. Gigantic. How many meters? So if you are not careful and you go swimming in the Nile, you're swimming right into his jaws, and he makes clap, clap, clap. That's the way it is. It's like this. I told the brothers a joke. When I was small, I watched the movie Peter Pan. You know Peter Pan? Who's seen Peter Pan? Who's seen the movie Peter Pan, the Disney movie? And there was a song in this Disney movie of Peter Pan, never smile at a crocodile. Never be friendly with a crocodile. Right? Because all that he is imagining is how well you will fit into his skin. Do you know the melody? Never smile at a crocodile. I still know this song. Should we sing it? It's like this, brothers and sisters. Behind this world is this crocodile, this monstrous crocodile. It's dangerous. And we, as young people today, need to be aware. We need to have a conscience to say, I don't love the world. It doesn't mean you don't possess anything. But we live sufficiently. It's enough. The Lord can give us more, that's good, praise the Lord. But if not, we don't want to force it. Right? Don't try to force yourself to be rich. Because the Lord will supply us with everything that we need. And if you have enough, if you have an overflow, then use it to help the others. Right? We just live in this world. This world will pass away, and when the Lord comes back, everything else will be completely destroyed without anything remaining. In the last 3.5 years, you will see nothing will remain. Everything will be fully destroyed. And if we love the world, remember Lot's wife. This is a warning. Lot's wife is a warning. Do you know Lot? You know his wife? But nobody really thinks of her. Nobody really remembers her. But the Lord said, remember Lot's wife. Not because she was a smart woman, a smart wife, but because she was a woman, a wife who loved the world. She couldn't leave Sodom. She left bodily, physically, she left, but her heart remained. That's why she turned back to look. Where your heart is, there your where your treasure is, there your heart will be. So where is your treasure? In the world? Or is it in the kingdom of God, in the church? If your heart is in the world, then maybe you're still in the church, but you're always looking back. Oh, too bad. Oh, oh. Lord Jesus. You always look back. In the end, you just go back there. You go back. Because your treasure is there. Where is your treasure today? Praise the Lord. So, whoever loves the world, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So, amen. We want to catch this crocodile and kill it. Amen. We have overcome him. Amen. Especially the young people, praise the Lord. You have overcome him. And he who is in you is greater and stronger than he who is in the world. It's wonderful. So this point, we shared it now at the very end of the conference. But now it's really important. Because if we don't take heed to this in the end, it won't be good. Praise the Lord. The Lord be with you. What else can I say? Maybe we see each other next year. Praise the Lord. I really want to see that the work of the Lord spreads out over all of Europe, over the entire world, in Switzerland, in Austria, in Italy, in Spain, in the East, in Romania, amen, Poland, Ukraine. So many countries, and the Lord has a lot to do. Praise the Lord. He needs to go to the ends of the earth. The Lord be with you. Amen.